This is Audible.
Mine to Take, Western Wildcats Hockey, Book 5. Written by Jennifer Suchevich. Narrated by Jennifer Blom and Michael Gallagher. Chapter 1. Maverick. I lift the bottle to my lips and take a swig of cold beer as my gaze skims over the crowd. Music pumps, the bass vibrating in my bones. People are dancing and cutting loose on a Friday night. We won our game yesterday. Afterward, we all headed to Slapshots to celebrate with rounds of shots and karaoke. It's the unofficial home of the Western Wildcats hockey team. There's barely time to revel in our victory before we have to prepare for our next game against the East Town University Rattlers. That's one we abso-fucking-lutely need to win. Even thinking about their left wing, River Thompson pisses me off. I crack the muscles in my neck to loosen the mounting tension. The rivalry between us dates back to high school. He's a right wing and always looking to score. I'm a defenseman and always shutting him the fuck down. On more than one occasion, we've come to blows on the ice. Ah, hell, who am I trying to kid? It's unusual if we don't get into a brawl and end up in the box. I'm knocked from the tangle of those thoughts when slender hands glide their way up my chest, and I find myself staring down at the dark-haired beauty beaming up at me.
Hey, Mav, I've been looking all over for you.
I lift the bottle to my lips again and take another drink. Looks like you found me. Her grin intensifies.
Lucky me.
Jenna Montgomery. She's one of the Wildcats' biggest fans, if you know what I mean. I flick another glance around the room. It gets snagged by Ryder and Juliet playing kissy face. My nose scrunches. They really need to warn people before engaging in PDA. Ugh. Even though they've been together for a couple of months, I'm still trying to wrap my brain around the fact that my best friend and sister are now an item. Should I have seen it coming from a million miles away? Probably. I've always sensed the tension that vibrated in the air when they were in the same room together. It's been that way since middle school. I just assumed they hated each other. Joke's on me. Turns out the opposite was true. When my chest tightens, I shove those thoughts from my head. Not that I'd admit it to anyone else, but I miss the way things used to be before they started dating. Ryder was usually down for anything. We'd chill out and play a little NHL or Madden on the Xbox. Sometimes we'd head to the bars after practice, or we'd get a lift in. Now he spends all his spare time with Juliet. Hey, it's not like I begrudge their happiness. I really don't. I just wish it weren't at my expense. A sigh escapes me. And now I sound like the world's biggest pussy. Exactly what I didn't want. Unable to watch them make out for another second, my gaze settles on Wolf and Fallon. Another couple who recently got together. Or maybe a more accurate description would be that they were just hitched in Vegas. Yeah, mind completely blown. Who the fuck gets married when they're 22? Especially someone who has the hockey world by the balls. I shake my head. The answer to that question would be Wolf Westerville, future NHL goalie for Boston. And then there's Ford and Karina, Riggs and Stella, Madden and Viola. And last, but certainly not least, our newest couple on the block, Colby and Britt. Christ, the guy can't keep his damn hands off her. Turns out, they secretly tied the knot in Vegas as well. It wasn't all that long ago when these guys were single and ready to mingle. Or get laid by groupies. Now, however, it's me, Bridger, and Hayes. We're the last ones standing.
Maverick.
I really hate all these maudlin thoughts trying to weigh me down. There's been too many of them lately. I stare into Jenna's green eyes. Yeah? She presses closer until I feel the rounded softness of her breasts against my chest.
You seem tense. I know exactly what will help with that.
I'm sure she does. Jenna's superpower is that she's capable of making you forget your own name.
Maybe that's exactly what I need, to forget all this bullshit pressing in at the edges.
When I don't pounce on the offer, she stretches onto the tips of her toes and nips my lower lip with sharp white teeth.
Trust me, I'll make it worth your while,
she adds in a husky voice that's chock full of promise. And just like that, my decision is made. I jerk my head in a tight nod. Sure, let's go. A sly smile lifts the corners of her pink-slicked lips before she grabs my hand and drags me toward the staircase. On the way across the living room, Hayes catches my eye and smirks. His hands are full with two eager bunnies. Now that Colby has officially retired his dick, Hayes is drowning in pussy. By the look on his face, he couldn't be more thrilled with the predicament. And Bridger? He's off moping in a corner by his lonesome. I haven't seen him drink or hook up since the mass texts became a bone of contention with his old man, the chancellor of the university. They've put a serious crimp in his social life. Bridger employed a couple of friends to help figure out who's behind the messages, but they haven't been able to get to the bottom of this Scooby-Doo mystery. Yet. I feel bad for the guy. Whoever's intent on making his life hell must have a serious hard-on for the dude, because it hasn't let up. Just the other day, another one surfaced. Within 5 minutes, his father was blowing up his phone. Bridger ended up dumping his uneaten lunch in the trash and storming off to his office. I raise my beer to him as Jenna drags me up the staircase. Once we hit the second floor landing, we take a right and pass by two closed doors before she wraps her fingers around a knob and shoves it open. It's not the first time my room has been graced by Jenna's presence, but it has been a hot minute. I'll fully admit that I went a little crazy in the pussy department freshman year. How could I not? I had all the freedom I craved, and girls were throwing themselves at me as if I were already a superstar on the ice. Ryder and I were going out all the time. Sophomore year turned out to be more of the same. Hockey and girls, in that order. Now, I'm almost done with my third year, and my business classes have become more of a challenge. I have to work harder just to keep my head above water. Maybe it's for the best that Ryder is preoccupied with Juliet, and I've lost my partner in crime. I'm forced to sit my ass at home and plow my way through all the required reading. As soon as I cross the threshold, Jenna slams the door shut and leans against it. The expression on her face is nothing short of gleeful.
I've been dying to get you alone for weeks, she admits.
Barely do I have enough time to set the bottle of beer on my desk before she flings herself at me. Her fingers slip beneath the hem of my t-shirt to gather up the cotton material and drag it over my head. This girl doesn't have a coy bone in her body. It's straight down to business. Gotta appreciate that.
You are so damn gorgeous.
Her palms slide upwards, stroking over bare flesh.
All that hard, chiseled muscle.
A fine tremble racks her body.
And for tonight, it's mine.
The way she eats me up with hungry eyes should be sexy. Instead, it leaves me feeling slightly uncomfortable. Hollow, like I'm nothing more than a piece of meat.
Ivy is going to be so jealous when I tell her.
She flashes a triumphant smile.
And I'm going to share every tiny detail for her to savor.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. Do I catch wind of the rumors that float around campus concerning my appetites? Yep, it would be hard not to. I was amused by the stories freshman year. Now, however, not so much. The last thing I'm interested in is being a notch on some girl's bedpost. You'd be surprised by how mercenary some of these chicks can be, or the way they like to compare notes. Without looking, she tosses the t-shirt over her shoulder. It hits the bottle of beer on my desk, knocking it to the floor. Golden liquid bubbles up from the long neck and spills everywhere. I swear under my breath as my mood takes a swift nosedive. With a giggle, she swings around and picks up the glass container before setting it on the desk. Her gaze gets snagged by the English paper I tossed there a few days ago. Just leave it, I say with a grunt.
Trying to lose myself in this girl was a mistake, and I should have realized it sooner. Instead, I forced something that wasn't there to begin with. There used to be a time in the not-so-distant past when hooking up and having non-discriminate sex was fun. A way to blow off steam for a couple of hours and relieve the stress that would build to a breaking point inside me. It hasn't felt that easy in a while. Jenna stares at the paper before glancing over her shoulder to meet my gaze.
Lindstrom is your professor and you still got a D-?
Disbelief threads its way through her voice.
All you have to do is show up and you're guaranteed a C.
Embarrassment slams into me as flames lick at my cheeks. She flips the page to glance at the second one.
Have you ever heard of a little thing called spellcheck?
I swipe at the paper, only wanting to snatch it from her. At the last moment, Jenna shifts so that it's just out of reach and my fingers claw the air. Give it to me, I growl. My teeth are clenched so tightly that my molars ache. It takes effort to keep from lashing out and jumping down her throat. I fucking hate when people read my papers or see my grades. In elementary school, it was an endless source of embarrassment. After all these years, that feeling has never subsided. It doesn't matter if there's an explanation for it. I'm sure as shit not about to share that with Jenna. She waves me away.
Just give me a minute and let me read this.
I asked you to give it back, so how about you just do it?
Are all your classes going this well?
That question sends another tidal wave of humiliation crashing over me as I clamp my lips together, refusing to give her an answer. It's just easier to go numb and block out the shame that tries to eat me alive. When I remain silent, she tosses the paper onto the desk before swinging around to face me.
That's all right. I doubt the university gives a damn if you pass your classes.
A smile tips the corners of her lips.
Not when you're busy winning championships for them.
She gives me a little wink.
Personally speaking, I don't mind my hockey players a little slow on the uptake, just as long as they know how to wield their sticks.
My chest constricts as the comment circles around in my brain. I didn't think it was possible to be any more pissed off. It takes effort to force out the question and not lose my shit. Excuse me? She shrugs.
I'm just saying that the only thing that really matters is that you're going to the NHL.
Her bluntness is enough to steal the air from my lungs. The only thing that really matters is that you're going to the NHL. The muscles in my belly clench as even more heat stings my cheeks until it feels like they're on fire. When I continue to stare, she moves closer and twines her arms around my neck. Like hell, that's going to happen now. My fingers shackle her wrists before prying them loose as I take a giant step in retreat. This girl can go fuck herself, because I sure as hell won't be doing it. Not tonight or any other night in the future. You need to leave, I growl. I wince, hating the hurt that bleeds into my voice. She blinks in confusion.
What?
I speak carefully so there's no chance of her misinterpreting what I'm about to say. You need to leave. This is no longer happening. Her eyes widen as her face scrunches.
Are you serious?
As a heart attack, I point toward the door. Get out. Her teeth scrape against her lower lip.
Look, I'm sorry. I was joking around. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
You didn't. Huge fucking lie. I'm just not in the mood anymore. Actually, I was never in the mood, but unlike her, I keep that little tidbit to myself.
Oh.
There's an awkward pause as guilt flashes across her expression.
I guess I could help rewrite your paper. I mean, it would take a lot of work, but...
This girl is off her rocker if she thinks I'd accept a damn thing from her. My voice grows colder. It's a wonder she doesn't get frostbitten. Do me a favor and close the door on your way out. Unable to stomach the sight of Jenna, I swing toward the window. It's only when the lock clicks into place that the thick tension filling my shoulder blades loosens, and I become more aware of the music that pulses through the floorboards from downstairs. There's no way in hell I'm returning to the party. Although, that decision has nothing to do with the chick I just kicked out. I'm sure she assumes I'm just another lazy jock coasting by on his athletic prowess, marking time until he can get picked up by a professional team.
and maybe there's some truth to that. Given the choice, I'd already be playing in the NHL. Instead of applying at Western, I would have played a year or two of juniors and then entered the draft. Instead, my parents insisted I needed a degree first. Trust me, I fought that tooth and nail. But after Mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, I didn't have the heart to argue with her. I would have moved heaven and earth to give her whatever she wanted. So here I am, in my junior year at Western. Unlike my sister, academics have never come easy to me. Juliet is the resident brainiac of the family. I, unfortunately, take after my father and was diagnosed with dyslexia in early elementary school. It's my fucking cross to bear. As I drop onto the queen-sized bed and stare up at the ceiling, my mind circles back to the shitty English grade Jenna got such a kick out of. It takes effort to force out the stalled breath trapped in my lungs. If I don't get it up, my ass will get benched. And with playoffs right around the corner, that's the last thing I can afford. Sure, I'm here to get an education, but even more importantly, I'm at Western to play hockey. And if I can't do that, what's the fucking point?
Chapter 2. Willow. Exactly how did I let you talk me into this? My bestie asks as we navigate the crowded corridor. Because you love me? I flash an overly sweet smile in her direction. With a scowl, she flattens her lips before grumbling, "Well, you got me there." Holland and I became fast friends back in elementary school. She's my sister from another mister, the yin to my yang. Whenever I've needed her, she's been there. I'd like to think that I've done the same, but at this point, she's definitely put in more time. She's a true friend in every sense of the word, and there's nothing I wouldn't do in return for her. Holland gives off major don't fuck with me vibes, but beneath her hard, crunchy exterior lies a soft, nougat filling. Although if you said that to her, she'd probably take a chunk out of your backside with her teeth. But she can't fool me. We've been friends long enough that every so often, she'll drop the mask and allow her vulnerability to take center stage. I love that she's comfortable enough to give me those rare and precious glimpses of the real Holland. Added bonus, you enjoy watching River play. A devilish smile lifts the corners of her lips. Actually, what I enjoy is watching your brother knock grown men on their asses. There's something immensely satisfying about it, especially when he does it to one player in particular. She glances at me, which is the real reason I agree to this outing. I knock my thinner shoulder into hers. When she meets my eyes, I waggle my brows. It wouldn't be the worst start to a relationship. She snorts. I'm sorry, have you totally lost your mind? I have zero interest in hockey players, and even less in your brother. Are you sure about that? Her tone turns steely. 100%. My brain tumbles back to our childhood. You might not realize this, but I've always secretly hoped you two would fall in love and get married. Then we'd truly be sisters. What are you talking about? That's never been a secret. You used to leave sticky notes on my books with our names, surrounded by little hearts. For years, I tried nudging them in each other's direction, with no luck. Neither seem interested in the other. River treats Holland like the sister he never wanted or asked for. Plus, your brother is a total bonehead. I loop my arm through hers and draw her curvy body closer before adding in a cajoling voice, "Just think, if you play your cards right, he could be your bonehead." Hard pass. I'm focused on finishing up college and getting the hell out of here, in that order. There's a pause before she mutters, "And Marcus left a lasting impression, one that has been singed into my soul." It's not often that my friend dredges up her ex. "That was years ago," I say carefully. I hate that he hurt her so much. Holland has always been a master at keeping her emotions tightly contained. I can hardly blame her with the way she grew up. I'm just glad our house was something of a refuge for her. She jerks her shoulders and brushes off the comment. Once burned, twice shy, and all that bullshit. I'm just saying that you should be open to the idea of love if it presents itself. That's all. Maybe after college, once I'm a boss-ass bitch, she concedes. That reluctantly given admittance feels like a major victory. When my phone vibrates in my pocket, I slip my hand inside and fish it out before glancing at the screen. Let me guess, it's Bex. Even though I try not to let it affect me, everything inside me deflates. Yep. She wants to make sure you've taken all the necessary precautions this evening. Right again. You realize that woman would put you in a bubble if it were socially acceptable? Don't give her any ideas, I grumble. A smile trembles on her lips. Oh, I'm pretty sure she's already investigated it. Must not have been feasible. I hate to admit just how spot on Holland is in her assessment of the situation. How hilarious would it be if you showed up in a biohazard suit? I glare. She'd be thrilled. Yeah, probably. The woman is a total nut job. She glances at me. Sorry, but it's true. I'm aware, I say, with a reluctant sigh. We follow the swiftly moving crowd until finding our seat section. Even though I'm a student at Western, the only time I attend their games is when my brother's team is playing the Wildcats. My twin has been involved in the sport since kindergarten, so I grew up watching it. More times than not, Holland was dragged along to keep me company. As soon as we enter the arena, I glance around, searching for my parents. Mom pops to her feet and waves erratically. The people surrounding her swivel in her direction and stare. Somehow they manage to secure amazing seats right up against the plexiglass. Oh good, there's Bex, Holland mutters. I've missed her. What's it been? 72 hours since she stopped by our place to do a deep clean? I shake my head at the nickname. You know she hates when you call her that, right? She flashes a grin. Why do you think I do it? Even though I shake my head, I can't help but be amused by my bestie. She does and says things that I would never dream of. It would be difficult not to admire her spunk. I return the wave, hoping Mom will settle down. Think she got here early and sanitized our entire section? Probably. It would be amusing if it weren't true. My mother has always been nervous by nature. My diagnosis in high school only amplified those tendencies. Once we make our way to the seats, Dad rises to his feet and pulls me in for a warm embrace. He's way more chill than Mom. After a handful of seconds, she elbows him out of the way to do the same. Her grip borders on bone-crushing. When the embrace stretches a few seconds too long, I pat her back. Only then does she draw away enough to study my face, as if looking for telltale signs of fatigue or illness. How are you feeling, sweetie? I hope you've been taking those new immunity boosters I bought. When I didn't hear from you yesterday, I was concerned. I bite back the sigh that sits perched on the tip of my tongue and paste a smile in place. I feel great. I told you when you stopped by the other day that I'd be busy with classes and the tutoring center. Her brows pinch at the mention of my job on campus. You're just asking to pick up an illness working there. All those germs. I really hope you're taking the necessary precautions. Washing your hands, using sanitizer, wearing a mask, and social distancing when possible. And when you return home from school, make sure you're changing right away and throwing your dirty clothes into the laundry. Mom, I'm serious. Her voice rises as fear flickers in her eyes. We talked to Dr. Edwards about it at my last appointment, remember? He agreed that it was fine. I'm not putting myself at risk. She presses her lips together before muttering, I still don't like it. She's fine, Bex. Willow hasn't even caught so much as a cold this semester. Mom turns glaring eyes on my roommate, and her voice flattens. Oh, I didn't notice you there, Holland. My roommate grins. It's nice to see you too. After all these years, my mother has finally learned to tolerate Holland because I love her so fiercely and refuse to listen to one bad word she has to say about her or her family. What Mom can't deny is that she's been a steadfast friend through everything. As far as Mom's concerned, it's Holland's only saving grace. I'm being careful, promise, I say, cutting into their conversation before it can spiral out of control and ruin the evening. It's happened before. We're here to support River, not talk about me. It won't be long before she launches into a spiel about me going into elementary education and how many germs children carry. She'll probably end up stroking out when I begin my student teaching placement next year. Or she'll show up every day armed with a can of disinfectant, sanitizing wipes and masks. I wouldn't put it past the woman. Just as I'm about to drop down onto the seat, she says, Wait, let me wipe down the chair again. Mom, I groan, that's not necessary. She meets my beseeching gaze with a determined look of her own. It'll only take a second. Embarrassment claws at my cheeks as she pulls out a travel-sized pouch of wipes and scrubs the plastic and metal. A few people seated in the row above us stare as she grabs a small bottle of spray and then disinfects it. The alcohol scent masked by something that can only be described as artificially floral. Stings my nostrils. Once she tucks away her cleaning supplies, she waves toward the seat. Now it's ready. Thanks. No problem, sweetie. Do you want to wear a mask? She glances around with a frown. There are so many people packed in here. If the germs don't kill her, Holland mutters beneath her breath, you're smothering Will. By the way, Mom narrows her eyes. She heard the comment loud and clear. Before either one can take another swipe, the lights in the arena are dimmed as the music volume is raised, cutting off the possibility of further conversation. When the players from the East Town Rattlers are announced, we whistle and cheer as River's name reverberates throughout the arena. Then it's time for the home team players to be introduced. I glance around as the fans cheer and applaud until the noise becomes deafening. The Jumbotron gives their fans a close-up shot as each player takes to the ice with a wave. Since transferring to the university in the fall, I haven't paid much attention to the athletes on campus, although it would be impossible not to be aware of them. Hockey and football are by far the most popular sports at Western. Each team generates a ton of revenue for the school, and they have more groupies than they know what to do with. It's been the same for my brother in both high school and college. It only takes one glance to notice a few girls in the visiting team section holding up signs with my brother's name and number scrawled across the white poster board. That's reason number one as to why I would never get involved with an athlete. River is the other. My twin would have a conniption if I looked twice at one of his teammates. He's always been quick to run off any of the guys who show even a hint of interest. His behavior is almost as overbearing as my mother's. Last year, I reached my breaking point and brought up the idea of switching universities. Holland encouraged it and offered to be my roommate. Even though both my mother and brother objected to the move, I transferred last summer and started at Western in the fall. So far, it's been one of the best decisions I've ever made. I only wish I'd done it sooner. There's freedom in the people I meet not knowing who I am or my backstory. I'm knocked from the tangle of my thoughts when the puck gets dropped at center ice and the players explode into action. I unzip my jacket, revealing my brother's jersey. His dream is to play professional hockey. When River was a junior in high school, he reached out to Brody McKinnon, who owns a sports management agency, in hopes of representation. The former NHL player turned him down, saying that they weren't taking on any new clients. My brother was crushed, especially since his son is Maverick McKinnon. They played on opposite teams in high school, and it's the same in college. Over the years, it's turned into something of a rivalry. A none-too-friendly one. I blink back to the action on the ice when one of River's teammates makes a quick pass to him. As soon as the puck lands on the end of his stick, my brother takes off, maneuvering around players as they attempt to swarm. Energy buzzes through the arena as Western's fans shout for River to be shut down. A look of intensity settles on my brother's face as he darts across the ice. I leap to my feet and cheer when he skates closer to the goal. He's one of the top scorers on his team. Just as he veers toward us to avoid a defenseman, another player slams him into the boards. My eyes widen as my hands fly to my mouth. The sound of the collision reverberates throughout the vast space as I stare at the defenseman who just took out my brother. Our gazes lock for a heartbeat, and then another. Time stands still as icy air gets clogged in my throat. The cheering crowd fades as I stare into eyes that can only be described as the color of rich mocha. When his gaze drops to my jersey, the loss of eye contact is instantaneous. His lips twist into a scowl. That's all it takes for my heart to explode into action, racing beneath my breast as my brother scrambles to his feet and plows a gloved hand into Maverick McKinnon's wide chest. My knees weaken now that the intensity of his stare is no longer drilling into me. Players from both teams descend, trying to pull Maverick and River away from one another. I don't have to hear the words that fall from my brother's lips to know that he's pissed off. Frustration wafts off him in thick, suffocating waves. Mom shakes her head and scowls. I've said it before and I'll say it again. That McKinnon boy is an animal. Damn, Holland mutters. I was hoping more of a fight would break out. Maybe a little bloodshed to break up the monotony. Mom shoots her another glare as my gaze slices to my twin's rival. His teammates have their arms wrapped around him as the ref blows his whistle, ending the possibility of a brawl breaking out. When Maverick's hard-edged stare slices to me for a second time, my fingers rise to play with the silver W pendant that hangs loosely around my neck. River wears a matching one with his initial. He bought them for us after my diagnosis. And there's never been a day that I haven't worn the delicate piece of jewelry. It's become a good luck charm. As the game gets back underway, anticipation crackles in the air like an impending storm. Instead of keeping my attention focused on my brother the way I should, I find myself staring at the handsome defenseman.
Chapter 3, Maverick. I glance at the clock on the scoreboard. We're midway through the third period and the game is tied. The energy in the arena feels like a living, breathing entity. It's always like this when we play the Rattlers. Easttown University is only 45 minutes away, so it's an easy trip for their fans to make. One side of the arena is a sea of orange and black, while the other is white and light blue. This is our team's biggest conference rival, and both sets of fans are rabid for a win. If we don't pull one off tonight, there'll be hell to pay. And yet, as much as we have riding on the line, I can't stop thinking about the pretty blonde in the stands near the glass, and the way our gaze is caught as I checked River Thompson into the boards. Fuck, but taking him out like that in the first period had been a pure pleasure. The guy's been out for payback ever since. Bring it on, asshole. Bring it on. I'm sure he was pissed that I made him look like a pussy in front of his girl. My heart stutters for a handful of seconds before pounding into overdrive. Is that what she is? His girl? The thought burrows beneath my skin like an incurable rash. I send another look her way, only to find her watching me. Good. I want her attention focused on me the entire time she's wearing Thompson's jersey. Even though I don't know who she is or what her name is, I want to tear the damn thing from her body. My hands clench in my gloves in order to stop myself from crawling over the plexiglass and doing exactly that. I glance at her again. She's like a ray of sunshine with the way her golden hair tumbles around her shoulders. I'm having a difficult time concentrating on the reason we're here. The game. I swear under my breath as River manages to get around me and score a goal. Motherfucker. The girl wearing his jersey leaps to her feet and claps. Happiness radiates from her in intoxicating waves. It infuriates me that she's cheering for the one guy I can't fucking stand. When her gaze flicks to mine again, her eyes widen. A shoulder bumps mine, and I reluctantly break eye contact, only to find Ryder McAdams frowning at me. You okay, man? It's not like you to let Thompson fake you out like that. Fuck, he's right. I'm distracted when I should be laser-focused on getting my job done, and that's never happened before. Hockey has been my number one priority since I was old enough to lace up my own bowers. I'm so damn close to making all my dreams come true. After this season wraps up, I just have to make it through senior year, and then I'll be free to sign my contract with Boston. Hell, if I could convince my parents to let me do it early, I'd quit school in a heartbeat and head straight to the NHL. Although, I won't hold my breath for that. Every time I mention the possibility, they shoot it down, refusing to discuss the situation. I'm not sure why it's so damn important I earn a degree. After I'm done playing hockey, I'll end up working for my father's sports agency. I blink back to the present. Yeah, I'm fine. It's carefully that he searches my eyes. Apparently satisfied with what he finds, he claps me on the shoulder. Good. Let's shut these guys down. If we don't, we'll never hear the end of it. With a nod, we take our positions at the blue line as Hayes gets ready for the faceoff. As soon as the puck gets dropped, Hayes knocks it to Colby McNichols, who races up the ice before passing it to Ford Hamilton. It goes back and forth as defensemen swarm. At every turn, the Rattlers attempt to regain possession before Ford scores through the five-hole. In true Ford fashion, he grins at the stands, and I know he's looking straight at his girlfriend. The game is now tied with less than 2 minutes on the clock. The energy in the arena turns frenetic. Under normal circumstances, I'm able to block out the screaming fans and focus solely on the job that needs to get done. That's not the case this evening. And it has everything to do with the hot little blonde. It's impossible to shake the heat of her gaze as I skate across the ice. This time, when the puck is dropped, Hayes loses the faceoff. The Rattler's right wing scoops it up and takes off. From the corner of my eye, I keep an eye on River. I know his teammate will pass to him, and I'll be damned if I allow him to score for a second time. I skate closer, making sure to keep him in my periphery. I'm not giving him one damn inch. The wing with the puck glances at their center, as if he'll pass to him. Just as I back off, he flicks his wrist in the other direction, to River. I swear under my breath, realizing that he managed to get away from me while I was focused on the other player. My blades dig into the ice as I take off, attempting to catch him, but it's too damn late. I'm not even close enough for a back check. He swoops in front of the net before Ryder can get there and scores another goal. Fuck. 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 The horn blasts throughout the arena before echoing in my ears. River grins around his mouthguard as he points to the girl in the stands. When his gaze settles on mine, he smirks.
Better luck next time, McKinnon. Looks like Sabrina wasn't the only thing I stole from you.
My vision goes red as I slam him against the boards for a second time. River gets knocked off his skates and hits the ice with a thud. Even though the sound is satisfying as hell, it does nothing to assuage my fury. He scrambles to his feet before taking a swing. Now I'm the one who's smiling. Until his gloved fist connects with my helmet and sends my head careening to the left. My teeth snap, sinking into the mouthguard as I lunge. A whistle gets blown as players from both teams pry us apart.
"You're a fucking asshole," River growls.
I do the only thing I can and grin. One of the refs stabs a finger in my direction.
"In the box you go, McKinnon."
Then he looks at River.
"You too."
"What?" His incredulous voice escalates.
"He started it."
"Doesn't matter," the other ref says before skating away. The Rattlers coach has a few choice words with the refs, arms flailing, but it doesn't change the outcome. I glance at the blonde on my way to the penalty box. Her wide eyes stay pinned to me the entire way. It's exactly where I want them.
Chapter 4, Willow. "Are you sure I can't convince you to stick around and wait for River?" I cajole Holland. She gives me an, "Are you cray-cray" look. "Consider yourself lucky that I came to watch the game at all." She sends a sidelong glance toward my mother. "You know there's only so much of backs I can handle, and I've reached my quota for the year." My gaze reluctantly resettles on Mom. She's still foaming at the mouth that River was sent to the penalty box at the end of the game for a fight he didn't provoke. Oh, come on, she's not that bad. Even as I say the words, I know they're a lie. Holland snorts. Yeah, she is. And we both know it. At some point, you'll need to have a come-to-Jesus meeting with her. The woman has to cut the cord and take a giant step in retreat, for both of your sakes. My shoulders sink under the heavy weight of her comment. Holland isn't telling me anything I haven't secretly mulled over a million times before. The more I try to spread my wings, the harder Mom doubles down and hovers, refusing to hand over the reins to my own life. It makes me want to scream. When I fail to respond, she says, "I'll see you back at the townhouse, all right?" I nod. "Yep." With one final wave, Holland takes off, navigating her way through the thick crowd. After she disappears around the corner, I join my parents to wait for my brother. Other than the fight at the end of the third period, he had an amazing game. We chat about school and the tutoring center until River walks out of the visiting team's locker room, freshly showered. A grin flashes across his face when he sees us. Dad claps him on the shoulder.
"You had a great game." "Thanks. Coach said there were a few scouts in the stands." His eyes darken. "Hopefully that jackass McKinnon didn't ruin it for me."
That's enough to wipe the smile from Mom's face. "Every time you two play against each other, there are issues. Why can't he just let—" "You were on fire," I cut in before the conversation can go off the rails. We all know why Maverick McKinnon has a bone to pick with River, even if Mom doesn't want to acknowledge it. I'm sure they were impressed. My twin's expression softens. His first love has always been hockey, and I can't imagine that ever changing.
"Thanks, sis. Glad you were able to make it."
I wouldn't have missed it for the world.
"Are you hungry?" Dad asks. "We can get some dinner before heading back home."
River shakes his head.
"Nah, a few of the guys were talking about grabbing something to eat. You don't mind if I go with them, do you?"
"Of course not." Mom glances at her watch. "If we hurry, we can catch the news." River flicks a glance my way.
"Any interest in coming out to celebrate with us?"
I blink, thrown off by the unexpected offer. He usually doesn't invite me out to party with his teammates.
"Really?"
He pops his shoulder as if it's no big deal.
"Sure, why not?"
I mull it over for a few seconds before nodding. "Okay, yeah, that sounds fun." As soon as I agree, Mom frowns. "I don't know if that's such a good idea."
"Don't worry, I'll keep an eye on her, she'll be fine," River adds.
Even though she technically doesn't have a say in what I do, Mom chews her lower lip with indecision.
Rebecca, let the kids have fun. They'll be fine. River will watch out for his sister. He always does.
Irritation pricks at me. I don't need anyone to watch out for me, I huff. I'm almost 21. Dad waves off my comment, attempting to make light of it.
I know, I know.
This isn't the first time we've had this conversation. Unfortunately, it won't be the last either. Holland's words ring unwantedly in my ears. My parents really do need to cut the cord before I get strangled by it. We all say our goodbyes before they head out and we're joined by a few of River's teammates. When we were younger, I knew all the guys my brother played hockey with. We attended the same school and they'd stop by the house after practice and in the summer. I've only met the players on River's college team a handful of times. It's easy to see that everyone is flying high from the win. There are lots of smiles, laughter, and good-natured ribbing.
Let's grab something to eat and then hit up a bar or two,
a tall guy with rich brown wavy hair says. After everyone agrees, he flicks mossy green-colored eyes in my direction, before doing a double take and upping the wattage of his smile.
Well, hello there.
The greeting barely makes it past his teeth before River growls,
Back off, Higgins, that's my sister.
Tension fills my muscles as I wait for the inevitable, but pray that this time will be different.
She had fucking cancer.
It's like dropping a bomb in the middle of an unsuspecting town. Air leaks painfully from my lungs as the happy chatter of seconds ago dies a quick death, and the guys closest to us turn and stare like I'm a circus oddity. Heat scalds my cheeks as pity floods their eyes. As soon as I meet their gazes, they shift and glance away as if I'm contagious. The cute guy who'd been flirting seconds ago looks properly chastised by my brother's comment. He drags a hand through his damp strands and mumbles,
Oh, sorry about that. I didn't know.
After most of his teammates turn away, I ball my hand and punch River in the bicep. Not that he feels it. When pain shoots through my fist, I shake it out and glare.
Did you seriously just blurt that out in front of everyone?
With a frown, he jerks his shoulders.
What? What did I do?
I narrow my eyes. I love my brother, but sometimes I just want to kill him. Slowly. With my bare hands. This is one of those times. It's the main reason I decided to transfer after my sophomore year. I was tired of him hovering, outing my diagnosis before people could get to know me as a person, not a medical condition.
You know exactly what you did,
I grumble, opening my purse and rifling through it for my keys. Deep down, I knew this was a mistake. When I pull them from the bag, River blurts,
I'm sorry, okay? I didn't mean to say it.
I pause with them clasped tightly in my hands. If this is what the rest of the night will be like, then I'm just going to head home now and skip the embarrassment.
I'm sorry, Willow. I'm just...
His voice trails off.
Protective of you. I want everyone to understand that you're off limits.
Even though I don't want it to, everything softens inside me. It's always been impossible for me to stay mad at River. There was no need to humiliate me in order to get your point across.
You're right. It was a shitty thing to do. Please don't leave. I want you to come out and celebrate with us.
It takes a minute or so for my muscles to loosen. When I remain silent, he gives me sad puppy dog eyes, the ones I can never say no to.
Do you forgive me?
I don't know, I mutter, trying to hold on to the last wisps of my anger. If I hear cancer or leukemia come out of your mouth one more time tonight, I won't talk to you for a month, maybe longer. He holds up his hand with a solemn promise.
I won't say another word about it, I swear.
Fine. River throws a muscular arm around my shoulders before hauling me close.
We're gonna have a blast.
The group moves en masse to the exit at the front of the building. Now that all cancer talk has screeched to a halt, the mood once again turns celebratory. Some of the Wildcats players are still hanging around as we reach the lobby. A shiver skates down my spine when my gaze is snagged by a dark, brooding one. Even without a jersey that has his name stamped across the back of it, I know exactly who this guy is. During the game, I tried telling myself that the little zips I'd felt every time our eyes locked were a figment of my imagination. That's no longer possible. His eyes narrow as he pins me in place with a hard-edged stare. The connection is only severed when one of the girls who'd been holding a sign with River's name scrawled across it slams into his chest and twines her arms around his neck before pressing her lips against his. I hate referring to any girl as a flavor of the week, but that's been River's track record for the past few years. There's absolutely no point in me getting to know them. They're here and gone before I can blink. There hasn't been anyone of significance since he and Sabrina parted ways freshman year of college. I'm just about to untangle myself from my brother when he slips his other arm around the over-enthusiastic girl as we head to the exit. Unable to help myself, I sneak another glance at the hot hockey player. Our eyes collide for the upteenth time tonight, and my feet stutter at the disgust stamped across his expression. It's written in the hard glint that now fills his icy depths and the curl of his upper lip. My heart kicks up into overdrive as River tugs me along before smirking at Maverick.
Tough loss, McKinnon. Better luck next time.
Chapter 5. Maverick. There's only one way to describe the mood at Slapshots, and that's somber. Frustration and anger hang heavy in the air. This isn't the first game we've lost this season, but let's just say it's not a regular occurrence. The fact that it happened against our biggest conference rival only adds salt to the wound. No one is taking it well. A few guys are drowning their sorrows in glasses of cheap beer. Others are rehashing the game play by play, trying to figure out where it all went to shit. Plus, no one's looking forward to the next practice. Coach will rip us a new one, all the while putting us through the ringer. It wouldn't surprise me if a few of the younger players throw in the towel afterward and quit the team. That thought sinks to the bottom of my belly like a heavy stone, where it settles uncomfortably. No doubt about it, we're definitely going to get the shit kicked out of us. And I have the sneaking suspicion that I'll get the brunt of it. I was distracted and allowed my emotions to get the better of me. Realizing how my future will play out, I down the rest of my beer and decide to head home. I caught a ride to the arena and then the bar with Hayes and Bridger. I flick a glance in their direction. Neither look very happy, so it's doubtful they'll stick around for long. As I set the empty glass on the bar, the back door swings open and a dozen guys saunter in with grins plastered across their smug faces. My gaze narrows as I catch sight of River fucking Thompson. You have to be seriously shitting me right now. What the fuck are these clowns doing here, at our bar, the place where we always hang out? Everyone knows that Slapshots unofficially belongs to the Western Wildcats. My gaze slides to the girl glued to his side, and every muscle tenses, going on high alert. Blondie. After she walked out of the arena, I never expected to see her again. As soon as our gazes collide, her eyes widen as she stutters to a stop. The douche at her side sends a questioning look her way. It's tempting to bare my teeth and knock him away from her. How is it possible that she's even more beautiful than I remembered? River leans down and murmurs something in her ear. She rips her attention away from me long enough to meet his questioning gaze. A potent concoction of anger and jealousy bursts to life inside me as he drapes his arm around her again. The visceral reaction I'm having to this girl is almost enough to give me pause. I search my memories, unable to remember a time when I've felt anything like it. And that includes with Sabrina. Until this moment, I didn't think it was possible to feel more. After Mom's cancer diagnosis in high school, I've done everything within my power not to feel anything too deeply. Those months of chemo were a dark period for everyone in the family. The fear and uncertainty that she could be ripped from our lives sat at the bottom of my belly like a heavy, unmovable weight. It's not something I want to go through again. I'm knocked from the tangle of those thoughts when Bridger leaps to his feet. I've known the guy for almost 3 years, and he's never been a hothead. If anything, he's the level-headed one who tries to maintain peace in the kingdom. But he's been dealing with a lot of shit these past couple months. It wouldn't take much to shove him over the edge.
"What the fuck are you doing here, Thompson?" he barks.
River straightens to his full height, which is a few inches over 6 feet.
"Good to see you too, Sanderson," he shrugs. "Just thought we'd stick around town and celebrate our win. Or, you know, the shit-stomping we gave you."
Ryder, Ford, and Wolf move to flank our teammate. Madden and Riggs aren't far behind. Bridger stiffens, the muscles in his jaw ticking.
"It would probably be in your best interest to find somewhere else to do that."
River glances around the dark space.
"Nah, here's good. Last I checked, you didn't own the place."
"That's right, they don't,"
Sully says, raising his voice to be heard over the music.
"But I do, and I don't want any trouble, or I'll toss every single one of you out on your asses."
Jerry, one of the bouncers, makes his presence known by cracking his knuckles and folding burly arms across his chest. The sleeves of his black t-shirt strain against the bulging biceps. He's one dude I wouldn't want to fuck with. If these guys have any brains whatsoever, they won't either.
"Are we gonna have any problems tonight?"
the older man asks, voice turning hard. River cocks his head.
"Not from us."
Bridger glances at Sully.
"You won't get any from us either."
The bar owner gives hard stares to both warring factions.
"Good. Glad to hear it. Now, what can I get you to drink?"
Some of the crackling tension blanketing the atmosphere dissipates as the rattlers make their way to the stretch of bar, and my teammates continue to glare at their rivals, as if waiting for them to step one toe out of line. If that happens, all hell will break loose. Another wave of jealousy crashes over me as River steers Blondie toward the bar. My molars grind as they order a round of drinks and hoist their glasses in the air, toasting their win. I can't help but shake my head at their arrogance. It's like they're begging to get their asses kicked. No matter what I think of River, the guy has some major balls waltzing in here and rubbing their victory in our faces. For as long as I can remember, tension has simmered between us. And then in high school, he stole my girl. The fact that she left me for the one guy I've always considered my rival stung more than actually losing her. She could have broken up with me for anyone. Anyone but River fucking Thompson. I can't take my eyes off the blonde as the bartender hands her a brown bottle of beer. The moment she lifts it to her lips, River nips it from her grasp. My brows shoot up as he guzzles the entire contents before setting it down on the stretch of bar. With a frown, he gives his head a slight shake. Are you fucking kidding me? What a dick. That thought is further solidified when the girl who'd attacked him at the arena wraps her arms around his neck and smothers him in sloppy kisses. My gaze slices back to his girlfriend, waiting to see how this scene will unfold. Will she go after the chick sucking River's face? It certainly wouldn't be the first catfight I've witnessed. Most of the girlfriends understand that they need to be on high alert and beat the groupies off with a stick. It comes with the territory of dating a hockey player. Puck bunnies, on the other hand, they don't mind sliding into bed with someone else's man. And they certainly don't mind sharing them either. When distaste flashes across Blondie's face and she swivels away from the mauling still taking place, I realize she's not a girlfriend after all. Huh. I wouldn't have pegged her for a groupie. Guess I was wrong. My muscles tense when one of River's teammates sidles up to her. A hesitant smile quirks her lips as she tucks a stray lock of golden hair behind her ear. Fuck, Even her ears are adorable. When the guy grins and steps closer, invading her personal space, I take an unconscious step in their direction. I recognize the hungry expression written across his face. It's one that says he's looking to get lucky. Before I can take another step, River breaks away from the girl and scowls at his teammate before pulling Blondie closer. He gets in the player's face, pointing to her again and saying something. The other guy gives her a sidelong glance before shaking his head and taking a giant step in retreat, as if he can't get away fast enough. If I didn't realize it before, I do now. River Thompson is a grade-A dick. He says something to the blonde before resuming his makeout session with the girl, who looks as if she's trying to swallow him whole. I'm curious as to what this chick's next move will be. If I were her, I'd haul off and deck him, maybe a few times. Instead, she presses her lips together and heads for the exit at the back of the bar. It's not a conscious decision on my part to take off after her. It just happens.
Chapter 6. Willow. When will I learn? I knew tagging along with my brother tonight was a mistake. If I'd been smart, I would have listened to my intuition. Instead of interrupting River, I shoot him a text on the way to the exit and let him know that I'm heading home. At some point, I need to sit down and have a serious convo with him about keeping my private information private. Part of me is irritated, but a bigger part is sad that my family can't seem to move on. I refuse to live in a bubble. I spent enough time in high school sitting on the sidelines and watching everyone around me live their best lives. I won't do it any longer. The cool evening breeze slaps at my cheeks as I shove through the back door of the bar. It's a relief.